Good morning, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. We live in an unprecedented time of COVID-19. Life and many routines have changed due to the circuit breaker measures. The social distancing, wear masks, wash hands regularly, and stay home affects all of us in many ways, with the daily report of high numbers of infections. You probably wonder, is there a light in this dark tunnel? We have taken our daily blessings for granted and not grateful before the circuit breaker measures, and now most of us will feel the impact. Is your art life dented by this pandemic? One thing for sure, when this is finally over, life will not be the same as before. Example, you will wear masks when you go out. How does Christian's faith help Christians live in pandemic? What is the secret? It is in the person of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to present to you an important truth of Christian faith. Jesus is the light of the world, and if you have this light, life will be not the same as before. You will have peace and joy, even in the midst of COVID-19. But before I present Jesus and is the light of the world, let me share with you an incident that took place in a classroom years ago, a student and a professor. Once the university professor challenged his students with this question, did God create everything that exists? A student bravely replied, yes, he did. So God created everything, the professor asked. Yes, sir, the student replied. The professor answered, if God created everything, then God created evil, since evil exists. And according to the principle that our works define who we are, then God is evil. The student shocked and became quiet before such an answer. The professor was quite pleased with himself and boasted to the student that he had proven once more that the Christian faith was a myth. Another student raised his hand and said, can I ask you a question, professor? The professor said, yes, you may. He asked several questions and put the professor on the spot, i.e. he was embarrassed. Finally, the young man asked the professor, sir, does evil exist? Now uncertain, the professor responded, of course, as I have already said, we see it every day. It is in the daily example of man's inhumanity to man. It is the multitude of crime and violence everywhere in the world. These manifestations are nothing else but evil. To this, the student replied, evil does not exist, sir, or at least it does not exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It is just like darkness and cold, a word that man has created to describe the absence of God. God did not create evil. Evil is not like faith or love that exists just as does the light and heat. Evil is the result of what happened when man does not have God's love present in his heart. It's like cold that comes when there is no heat, or darkness that comes when there is no light. The professor sat down. This young man was none other than Albert Einstein. Now in John chapter 8, verse 12 to 59, Jesus declared he is the light of the world. One question, what has Jesus' light done to you and for you? Well, let's look at the passage. Jesus was challenged three times and engaged in six arguments. You will find the answer in this passage. Just like the debate of the professor and the student had, here we find the Pharisees debated with Jesus. The Pharisees were a Jewish group opponent of Jesus or the early Christian, concerned with outward recognitions, honor, and legalistic. Through this debate, we learn that the truth that Jesus' light overcomes darkness and power of sin. So I present to you two divisions: true light, John chapter 8, verse 12 to 30, true freedom, John chapter 8, verse 31 to 59.
Two divisions. Division 1, true light, John 8, 12 to 30. Division 2, true freedom, John 8, 31 to 59.
Let's open the Bible to John chapter 8, verse 12 to 59. Division 1, which I'm presenting to you, true light, John chapter 8, verse 12 to 30. There are two parts in these divisions: Jesus' light and Jesus' destiny. Let's look at part 1, Jesus' light, in verse 12. Now in verse 12, Jesus said, when Jesus spoke again, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life." We need to understand the background of this incident, where it took place. The Jewish people have three major festivals: the Passover, which is in April, the Pentecost in May, and Tabernacle in October. Tabernacles, in Hebrew words, is called Sukkah, was known as the festival of ingathering, commemorating the 40 years journey of the Israelites in the wilderness. Now the Feast of Tabernacle was a time of great light in the city of Jerusalem, just like the light up of Orchard Road during Christmas, or Chinatown light up during the Chinese New Year. Every night, four large golden candelabra, each about 75 feet high, were lit up at the Jewish temple. It was said that every courtyard throughout Jerusalem reflected the light. In verse 12, the feast was over, but the memory of celebration was fresh, and Jesus was in the temple court. There were four candelabra stood without light. So in saying, "I am the light of the world," Jesus indicates that he is God's presence in their midst. Light manifests God's glory. Light displays God's holiness, truth, and splendor. God reveals his light in creation. The symbol celebrated in the Feast of Tabernacle has been fulfilled in Jesus, the presence of God. Life would not be the same as before if people believe in Jesus. Jesus' light overcomes darkness and power of sin. Now let's see the Pharisees' attitude towards this light, this Jesus. Now in verse 13 to 30, Jesus' identity being disclosed, being revealed, they met by three times challenge of the Pharisees. The first challenge: here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Questioned about Jesus' authority and his own witness being invalid. The leaders thought that he came from Galilee, and they judged by his appearance alone. Sometimes we do see things on the surface. Now, how did Jesus respond? In verse 14 to 18, Jesus said that he was from a heavenly origin. He and God the Father were in intimate union and did not judge as the leaders did. But if they judge, it will be a true judgment. He and the Father were in perfect agreement, so there were two witnesses. Now next, in verse 19a, second challenge. The Pharisees asked, where is your father? Jesus responds, you do not know my father. If you knew me, and you would know my father. Jesus pointing out their ignorance of both the Son and the Father. Next, in verse 21 to 30, Jesus revealed his identity and destiny. There were few important truths to take note in these verses. First, Jesus would return to heaven and they would not join him because they did not believe him. They thought Jesus was to commit suicide. And second time, Jesus mentioned, consequence of not believing him, you will die in your sin. Jesus was referring to the second death, that those who do not believe in him will die spiritual death. This is a warning for non-believers. Now the third challenge the Pharisees gave was, who are you? They asked in verse 25a. To this, Jesus replied, was that he was sent by God the Father and to tell the world about God the Father, and the only way to gain access to the Father is through faith in the Son. This was repeatedly told them before. Then he followed with a revelation of an important event about to take place. And what was that? Jesus said in verse 28, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Being lifted up means Jesus would die on the cross. And this probably also describes his resurrection from the dead and his ascension to heaven. This is the most significant event in history because it is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that people who believe in him will not meet the second death, but will have life after. Jesus' light overcomes the darkness and the power of sin. The lesson we learn from this dialogue is that accepting Jesus' light leads to life. Rejecting his light means we die in our sin, referring to second death, the eternal death. Now, the first principle for this division is that if you reject Jesus' light, you will die in your sin. If you reject Jesus' light, you will die in your sin.
Principle number one, if you reject Jesus' light, you will die in your sin. If you reject Jesus' light, you will die in your sin.
When you are sick, you need to receive right medical attention to get well. What is holding you back from belief in Jesus? Has Jesus become your light of your life? Or are you still asking, who are you, Jesus? Are there areas in your life where you desire God's light to shine in and through your life more deeply? What are you doing about your desire? If you reject Jesus' light, you will die in your sin. How are you sharing Jesus' light with others? Would you consider sharing the online link to our church service with others so that they can know Jesus? Many believe in Jesus and not only receive his light, but also receive true freedom. Now we go to division 2, true freedom. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 59. There were two parts, Jesus' truth, Jesus' argument. Now we go to part 1, verse 31 to 32. And I read from verse 31 to 32, Jesus said, to the Jew who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In verse 31 to 32, Jesus told the believing Jews, the mark of a true disciple is holding to his teaching, meaning repenting in all ways, turn to him in faith, and apply his word of life. For believers' life would not be the same as before. Freedom was vital to the Jewish people. They have been in Egypt for 400 years as slave. But to the non-believing Jews, they did not welcome Jesus' life, as evidenced in 6 arguments to follow. Here we see the heart of the unbelieving Jews. Let's go through the dialogue briefly and think of the 6th round of sharp debate. The round 1, in verse 33 to 38, the Jewish argument to Jesus' statement, true freedom. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slave to anyone. Obviously offended by Jesus' statement, and the truth will set you free, in verse 32. Now Jesus' fourfold reply we found in verse 34 to 38. The unbelieving Jews were not free, but slaves to sin. Slaves had no permanent place in their family. They are traded, no rights of inheritance. Third point, true spiritual freedom is found in Jesus' true faith in Him. They have no room for Jesus' word. The fourth point here is that though they were Abraham's descendant, they were children of their own father, not God the Father, as they sought to kill Jesus. Now in round 2, in verse 39 to 41a, verse 39a, Abraham is our father, they answered. Jesus replied, Abraham was God's friend, believed God, and would not kill Jesus, a man who told you the truth. They were working for their own father, not Abraham. Round 3 argument, verse 41b to 47, Jesus' Jewish argument, we are not illegitimate children. They protested, the only father we have is God Himself. Now Jesus replied to them in verse 42 to 47, challenged their spiritual legitimacy and hated God and His Son. They belong to the father named devil, believe in the devil's lie and murder. No one ever found Jesus guilty of anything, and they did not belong to God. Now round 4 of the argument in verse 48 to 51, Jewish argument, aren't we right to say that you are Samaritan, demon possessed? This was a desperate attempt to hit below the belt. Jesus replied in verse 49 to 51, Jesus did not refute the challenge or charge of being Samaritan. It was an ethnic issue that did not merit his attention. He did refute the charge of demon possession. It was not self-seeking, but honor God the Father who sent him. In his reply, he gave a promise in verse 51, whoever obey my word will never see death, meaning Jesus brings eternal life to all who believe in him. Jesus' life overcomes darkness and power of sin. And now we move to round 5, verses 52 to 56, the Jewish argument. At this, they exclaim, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? They became more aggressive towards Jesus. Jesus replied in verses 54 to 56, God, which they claim as their father, glorified Jesus. In faith, Abraham rejoiced at the glory and privilege of God gave him. It may be that God gave Abraham a vision of the Messiah when he confirmed his covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. But we know for sure Abraham had the visions that faith brings. Abraham trusted God's faithfulness in his promise that all people on earth will be blessed. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3. Now we go to round 6, verses 57 to 58. Verse 57, Jewish argument. you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus replied in verse 58, a solemn word that reveals himself as God. Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus gave the revelation of his pre-existence before Abraham. Being equal to God, he transcends time. Jesus was using the eternal name of God himself, announcing he is God. Verse 59, we saw the conflict ended with their struggle with Jesus' claim, and they attempted to stone him, but he slipped away. Jesus left the temple and nation. His next return was the Passover feast, where he became the sacrificial lamb for all our sin. The lesson that we learn from this second division are fourfold. Hostility, pride, and hypocrisy blinds a person to reality of truth. True spiritual freedom is found in Jesus through faith alone. Freedom is not the liberty to do what we please, but the ability to do what we ought to do in the will of God. Number four, though obedience is not the cause of salvation, it is the fruit of a changed heart, a new set of character that come from a changed heart. Life would not be the same as before. Now, this leads us to the second principle. Jesus' light brings freedom from sin's falsehood and control. Jesus' light brings freedom from sin's falsehood and control.
Principle number two, Jesus' truth brings freedom from sin's falsehood and control. Principle number two, Jesus' truth brings freedom from sin's falsehood and control.
How has Jesus' truth brought you freedom from wrong thinking and attitude? How has Jesus' truth brought you freedom from wrong thinking and attitude? From what sins, deceptions, and control do you need Jesus to free you? The religious leaders refused to believe and they argued with Jesus. They were bound by their sin of hostility, pride, and hypocrisy, and live in spiritual darkness. Does this tell you and I about our heart's attitude towards Jesus? Jesus truly free people from the sin, deceptions, and control. Conclusion, once again, is that Jesus' light overcomes the darkness and power of sin. If you recall at the start of the sermon, I asked one question. What has Jesus' light done to you and for you? Could you say that Jesus' light has led you to faith in him, and that Jesus' light had shattered so much more of the darkness in your soul? It's your choice to believe in Jesus' light or turn away from his light and face the darkness of this world. See, the darkness of this world can leave us overwhelmed and uncertain. The world appears increasingly unsafe with diseases and disaster. Is it not comforting to know that darkness will not prevail in our lives, nor can the purposes of God fail to reach fruition? While this darkened world is a wilderness, you and I know the light of this world. All who believe have this inner peace and joy living in the darkened world. Is there a need to fear? Remember God's faithfulness to his ancient people and think, will he be less faithful to guide and protect us who have received Jesus' light? Jesus' light overcomes the darkness and power of sin. So, as we face the crisis of COVID-19, we should focus our faith in Christ, not fear in crisis, because our future is fully secure in Christ alone. He is our light. He is the light of the world. Will you believe in Jesus? Will you turn your eyes unto Jesus and look at his wonderful face? He is the light, the great I am. Let us pray. Mighty God, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for your word that reveal your truth, that you are the light of the world, and that your light shines in us and give us peace and joy in you when we believe in you. Your light dispel the darkness of every corner of our sin, and your light will always shine brightly as we move forward and follow your light. So, Father, we pray that you help us to see the goodness and greatness of you, even in the midst of our struggle with this pandemic, that our future is secure in you. We pray all this in mighty name of Lord Jesus Christ. Next, will you join me to worship Jesus, the light of the world, as we play the video.